Last week, I know there was is a bit of a mixture over the summer. Some people are usually away some weeks and others, so it's very difficult. We've finished our study on the Beatitudes fortnight ago. Because I'm on holiday next week, it wasn't the best thing to start a longer series of teaching. So we'll do that as we get into September. And so what we're going to do is just for these two Sundays, last Sunday and this Sunday, is just think about the busyness of life. And just it is a summer, we're supposed to be a wee bit more relaxed and chilled out. It's not always like that. And all we're trying to do is just make a little bit of sense of being able to just to prioritise God's way rather than be pulled into the world's way. So let's just see where we go on that. Our text for last week was this verse: come away by yourselves to a desolate place, or in most other versions will say, to a quiet place and find some rest. Jesus intentionally had attracted a very large crowd and had got the guys working. And it was a pretty intensive day. It says the many people who come to Jesus to be healed and to be taught. And so it was Jesus had created this busy day. But at the end of it, he realized that the church, that his disciples really had come to a point where they needed to step back from that, from ministry, from work, from stuff, even though he created it. But the line now had come where they needed to step back from the activity and come to a quieter place, a place of stillness. And so he says to his disciples, guys, just let's get out of here. I'm putting it quite crudely, but let's just stop this now. It's been a busy day, it's been productive. There's still probably dozens of people still to heal and to see, but they'll be here tomorrow. Okay then, so let's come back a little bit and just refresh our spirits, or should we say recharge our batteries. And just a little bit of introduction, just to recap from last week, just so we have a context of this morning's talk. Life is becoming increasingly pressurised and busy. It just seems like that. I grew up in the Thatcher era, where there was a drivenness placed on productivity, and your worth really was based on what you produced. That was a Conservative government. I said last week it wasn't a political statement, it was a social observation. But with successive governments, both Labour and Conservative, it seemed that that got worse and worse, or became more intensive. That with each consecutive government, with 0 hours and performance-related pay, okay, things just seemed to become more and more stressful, more pressurised for people to work harder and work longer and get less rewards. And I just, I suppose, get a little bit concerned of the pressure that's been placed upon society as a whole, as we become a driven people. And I just want to try and pull back a little bit and see what God's got to say about that. Pharaoh, the great taskmaster. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, tragically, the first thing is that they were put to work. And not the kind of work of enjoying God or worshipping him or naming the animals, but by the sweat of the brow. It became as a consequence of disobedience. But there was limits to that. And God built into that work environment a Sabbath rest. The ability to step back from that and still be able to enjoy God. And the deliverer comes on the scene and he says to the great taskmaster that he was to let God's people go, that they could worship him. Pharaoh was none too enamored by that. Okay, then. And so he decided to turn up the heat. You know, you lot are lazy. You will work harder and you will have less resources because you're lazy. And I'm going to knock that out of you. And it seems since the beginning of time, the continued pressure has been upon people to keep on producing more for less. But God steps into the arena of slavery and he says, let my people go that they might worship me. Does the Westminster Catechism not say that man's chief end is to enjoy God, to worship God and to enjoy him forever? And so we seem to have this dichotomy of bursting our chops and just, you know, working relentlessly just to keep our heads above the water. And God saying to us, come aside to a quiet place and find some rest. Are you having us on, Lord? We can hardly have 5 minutes to think. And yet God seems to be pulling us away from the madness, from the maddening crowd, into a place of repose, a place of rest. And yet, because we have been conditioned that our worth is based on productivity, it gets harder and harder for us to recalibrate our thinking and to come back to what God wants for us. If I'm speaking to the majority of believers this morning, then we realize that we are not just physical beings made of flesh and bone, that there's a spiritual part of who we are. And it's that inner man or that inner woman that is the real person inside. And God is calling us to a place to make sure that that part of our being is well nurtured and well looked after. And when we are working or burning the candle at both ends, then it's our spirit that is first to take its toll on us. Because what happens is that spiritual part becomes disconnected from the Lord of the Sabbath. And we'll have to dig a little bit deeper into that. And so the only way that we can enjoy God is to spend time with God and to step back to a quiet place and to rediscover who he is. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand, and I would want to be faithful to Scripture, not to pull that out of context in terms of righteousness and purity. But there's a blamelessness that comes out of just a wholesome relationship with our Maker that's less strained because we don't feel guilty that we've not spoken to God for 4 weeks. And you can have a marriage that's ticking by and is not at the point of breakdown, but has lost its sparkle. And I think there's something pure, something exciting about this word blameless, a passion about it, an enthusiasm, that it's not just about not doing wrong things, but coming to a place of enjoyment and contentment and knowing God. God says if we're to really enjoy life, then we must nurture and take care of our souls and our spirits. And for that, we have to invest our time into. For those of you who follow the writings of Richard Foster, great author, about the importance of learning to bring discipline to our inner world rather than to our outer world. Our outer world is that part that people see. It's the part that's on public display. It's the performance part. It's more to do with wealth and success and popularity and beauty. It's temporal, it's earthly, the Bible tells us. It's not necessarily disastrous or bad, but it's the surface that only lasts for 80 or so years. But there's another part of us, that inner part, which is eternal, which it makes us who we are. And God's saying that we need to, that part of our garden is a part that we have to cultivate and look after and take care of. It's quite a long reading, and I'll stop, and I think that you've got the gist of it. But reading from one of Foster's books, he says, our world today cries out for a theology of spiritual growth that has been proven to work in the midst of the harsh realities of life. However, sadly, many have simply given up on the possibility of spiritual formation. Vast numbers of well-intended folk have exhausted themselves in church work and discovered that this did not substantively change their lives. They found that they were just as impatient and egocentric and fearful as when they began lifting the heavy load of ministry. Maybe more so, others have immersed themselves in multiple social service projects. And while the glow of helping others has lingered on for a time, they soon have come to realize that the Herculean efforts have left little lasting impression on their spirits. Our inner world is spiritual. It's where godly choices are made. It's where we make decisions to spend time with the maker of Sabbath, the Lord of rest. It's spiritual, it's internal. A public world is filled with constant lists of demands and expectations on our money, our time, our energy, our conversations. The world is screaming for our attention. And since our private world does not scream so loudly, it gets left unattended, ignored, and suppressed. I love this statement from C.S. Lewis. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. It's just one of those kind of things, isn't it, about who we really are. You don't have a soul, we have a body. It's that eternal thing there. And the Pharaoh or the devil or whoever, your boss, will continue to pull your arms in different directions and give you more space plates to spin than you can possibly keep going. And it flies in the face of being able to come away and to nurture and to recharge that inner person. How do we do that? And even those of us who are seasoned Christians have lost our way in learning to be still and to know that He is God. Life just gets crazy. And we think it'll get better soon, and somehow it just never seems to get any better. We go from one revolving door to another. And I'm just wondering if that's God's way for us. We reminded ourselves last week, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And we just ignore those words because they're meaningless in our world of madness. And we think, well, it must be for when you get to heaven because it can't possibly mean down here. I think it did. I really think it did. So how do we find this elusive rest? How do we recapture the magnetism of being with God and just to learn to laugh again in His presence and to enjoy His goodness? To breathe again, instead of that suffocating feeling that we have that we just have to keep on going when Jesus is saying we need to stop. We come back to Foster again. If my private world is in order, it is because I have made daily choices to monitor its condition. Anne Langerg suggests that we become the still axis in the revolving wheel of madness. Is it just easier for these authors? Or did they feel the same pressures as we do? Or did they have to call time and make difficult choices? She writes, "My wheel begins to wobble when my preparations become more important than those who I'm preparing for. My wheel begins to wobble when work becomes more important than those whom I'm serving. My wheel begins to wobble when the point that I'm making becomes more important than the person that I'm trying to make it to. My wheel begins to wobble when I lose sense of the sacredness of God." This is one of those verses of scripture which is both encouraging and so outrageously true. This is what God says to his people. This is the resting place. It's time for the weary to rest. This is the place of repose, but they wouldn't listen. They just wouldn't listen. And so in typical of divine fashion that we find scattered throughout the Bible, the word of the Lord to them will become do this and do that, rule upon rule, a little here and a little there, so that they will fall backwards and be injured and captured and ensnared. It's basically God's way of saying there's only way it's going to work, and it's my way. We get that in the garden. We get that in the Ten Commandments. It's God's basically saying, guys, if you don't learn to rest, you're going to work yourself into the ground, and don't blame me for it. It's time to stop and to recharge your batteries and start to get a little bit of enjoyment back. And if you don't listen, the consequences will be disastrous. And so as I close this morning and realize it's just a little bit briefer this morning in light of having the kids in with us, solitude, the sacredness of being alone and having time to think. Having silence means that we are able to listen. Having a Sabbath means that we are able to rest. And out of those two moments of revelation and rest, then our batteries are recharged for the service that lies before us again in acts of kindness. I've already made reference to it, but God says to his people that we are to be still. We are to be still. And the world knows nothing of that. The cacophony of noise and the demands of a pressurized society. Understand that I'm almost at the end, so I won't be distracted. But Sunday trading changed our society. Whether we like it or not, you may think there were some things better because you could go and buy coffee, I don't know. But all of a sudden now, there was no days off. There was no special days for families to have time together. I just throw it out as a thought. So we need to take time out. We need to learn how to not do stuff. We need to learn to enjoy time with family, relaxing and unwinding. We need to enjoy God. Come back to what we were made for. And just to enjoy Him. Can I ask you to stand? And I'll ask you guys to come back up.